Well, welcome everybody to the Acts 28 room yet again. It's good to see you all, and I want to thank you for your company. And we continue our series on the Acts 1:6 question of the disciples. Remember that? How does it all come together? We have just read, by the way, for those listening to the audio, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 11, emphasizing yet again that when Paul wrote Corinthians, it was the ends of the ages, in his opinion, or the end of the world, rather than the beginning of something. And in this room, it is our contention that our traditions have led us astray somewhat. Our traditions have always reinforced the theory or the concept that the book of the Acts really is the history of the early church. But what we've been saying, or what we contend, is that, in fact, the book of Acts was the end of the ages, and that the imminent return of the Lord was the hope in view. And one of the reasons why we struggle to break through and break free from the traditions that the church has given us is the fact that we have not clearly observed and stayed true to the pattern in the Old Testament. Now, before we go back to this pattern, I want to just show you once more the question by the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. For those of you that have joined the room, remember, you need to download chart number 32 on the website www.bibleunderstanding.com/misc.htm. It's chart number 32. Please download that chart and have it in front of you. All right, now, Acts 1:6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And of course, many, a Bible expositor, has written a book about the apostolic mistakes. Well, if you want to believe that the apostles made a mistake, friends, then we better be brave enough to put an F for failure on our Saviour's teaching certificate. Because it says in verse 3 of Acts chapter 1 that our Lord was with them for 40 days, speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God that he was talking about obviously had to do with the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. You know, I think we are much better served if we let the Bible teach us, don't you? And what we have to agree here is that our Savior taught them very, very carefully. We also remember in Luke 24, 45, that he opened his disciples' understanding to understand the Scripture. He taught them for 40 days, and they only asked one question. And the question stands right in front of and opposing the church tradition, which says the Acts is the history of the church. Someone's got to be wrong, friends, and I want to tell you something. It isn't the disciples who asked that question, and it certainly wasn't the Lord who taught them for 40 days. Now, why is it that we have got the Acts period totally back to front and upside down? And what we're trying to show in this series of audios is that we have ignored the pattern. And so we're going to go back and have a look at the pattern tonight by reviewing the chart, which I suggest from here on in you should have through this series of audios at any time. Now, we're going to pick up the story by going across the bottom of the chart. I hope you have a copy handy. Remember, this chart, thank you for our admins for posting the link all the time, but you do need to have number 32 on that link at your disposal. And if you look across the bottom of the chart, you will find our position clearly stated. It's in the white reversed black foundation there. And it says, this pattern, all of that chart represents, this pattern is of the church Israel on the earth. not the pattern of the church, his body, in heavenly places. Thus, most of the New Testament is about Israel. My goodness, that sounds so controversial, doesn't it? But in fact, it's quite true. During the audios up to date, we have seen Israel's festive calendar. And in Israel's festive calendar, you'll find the feasts given in Leviticus 23. Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost. Now, as you know, Pentecost was called the Feast of Weeks. And then we had trumpets. And then we had atonement, the day thereof. Got it? And then we had tabernacles. And booths is actually tied in with tabernacles. However, what this chart is showing is that while in Leviticus 23, the Lord gave these feasts to Israel as a calendar event, festivals to be observed on specific days, yet the chart is showing us that these events were part of Israel's typical, now I'm going to put this in here, typical salvation. Now, when I say typical, I refer to that which foreshadows something. That which anticipates a more glorious salvation or deliverance. Something is looking forward to something. Now, if this pattern of all these feasts is about Israel on the earth, then how come when we open our New Testament and see exactly the same things, all of a sudden they're not about Israel, they're about us? Do you see the problem? I think I've joked about Brian making a shirt and totally ignoring the pattern that the manufacturer gave me. And I would have the collar under the armpit and buttons running down the back, and I'd have the other sleeve hanging out the tail, and it would be a total mess, wouldn't it? Now, you can smile about what my shirt might look like, but I tell you what, friends, it's nothing to smile about when we see that the Christian community takes these patterns that belong to Israel and somehow starts trying to twist them and bend them and spiritualize them and allegorize them, and so they all talk about us. No, this pattern is about the church Israel on the earth. This is not a pattern about the church which is his body in heavenly places, despite the fact that certainly there are some principles of redemption in here, shed blood, atonement, identification. All those things are equally as true for Israel as they are for you and me. And this is the problem. Because many a person has seen the shed blood, then what they do is practice what we call replacement theology. Replacement theology. Replacement theology means whatever is Israel's suddenly is for us. And replacement theology can be best summed up in this phrase. I'm going to type it in for you. The one true church. Now, you may still hear that. I certainly heard it as a young man. The one true church. That's the most blinding, blinkering statement that any Christian can make and any Christian can be taught. Because true stands opposed to typical. You see, something that is true is actually a fulfillment of something which is typical. But what our chart, and I hope everyone has number 32, patterns of the Old Testament, I hope you have that chart in front of you, what we're saying quite clearly is the feasts, as they were acted out in Israel's history, represent what God will do for Israel in the future, not what God will do for the church, which is his body, in the future. And I hope I've made that clear enough for me to continue. Now, Across the bottom of the chart, you see that the pattern is the church, Israel on the earth, and above that, you have the feasts. I have stepped them out in the chart. There's Passover, unleavened bread, and then 50 days. Do you see it? Then there's Pentecost, a first fruit, and then you have 11 days. And then, if you look at the line that comes down to the right of 11 days, you will see that Kadesh Barnea, trumpets were possible. Trumpets were possible just 11 days from the events of Pentecost. Oh, the disciples said, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And they were only 10 days from Pentecost, weren't they? Before Pentecost, and this is 11 after it. Very interesting figures, aren't they? However, you'll notice that after the 11 days, you'll see trumpets is possible here. And then there's a 40-year delay as Israel have to learn something, don't they? Remember, the Lord took Israel to Kadesh Barnea and he said, go up and possess, and they didn't. They lacked faith. They could have entered the promised land 11 days from the events of Pentecost, but they did not. And they wandered for 40 years. How long is the book of Acts? Well, nearly 40 years. See, the pattern in the Old Testament is totally lost. If we think the book of Acts is about the church, which is his body. No, the book of Acts is a replica, a fulfillment of the very wandering in the wilderness that God gave the nation of Israel to teach them. They had to learn that they couldn't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Remember that? And in those wanderings, whilst they were rebellious, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears in that 40 years, that doesn't mean God changed things and brought in something different, now does it? And of course in the Acts period, Gentiles were being saved. Oh well, that's a church. I'm sorry, no it isn't. Because if you look back in those 40 years wandering, and you look at the text above it, and inside those arrows, you'll see the Song of Moses. It's call of scattered Israel to repent. That's what Paul was doing, wasn't he? He went into the synagogues in the Acts period. Gentiles were saved to provoke Israel, says Moses in the song in Deuteronomy 32. And Gentiles were to be blessed with Israel, says Moses in the wilderness wanderings. All of these patterns have to be left in their dispensational setting, or the Christian community is nothing but a can of worms all wriggling off in the opposite direction. That's why in the end we have to say, oh, there's only one true church and we're all going to heaven. Because we've made such a mess of the New Testament. A mess, people. An absolute mess. Because we have not followed this pattern. And in your hands tonight, in that chart, if my ad men can post that link again, you're going to find in this pattern 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and what the day, friends, that we can see that 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4 is right here in this chart in the book of Exodus, then we're going to start making clear divisions, aren't we, between the Apostle Paul's writings, and we will find those which appertain to us. So there's Egypt and the cross and the shed blood. Don't think that the cross means you only and me only. The cross was efficacious for Israel. On that cross was the King of the Jews, remember, the high priest. And his blood brought in a new covenant. And right here in this chart, we have the blood in the old covenant. If the old covenant was for Israel, who do you think the new covenant's for? Oh, I'm a new covenant Christian. Well, you can sing that and say it all you like, friends. But the old covenant was for Israel. And Jeremiah says the new is for the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And if you want to replace them and say, oh, that's me, well, then we're not following the pattern, are we? So there's Israel in Egypt, and there's darkness and gods and judgment. You see it. And a meal was given, i.e. the Passover meal, and 50 days later they came to Mount Sinai, where there was fire and smoke. See my wonderful representation of a mountain? Guess what happened at Mount Sinai? Well, we looked at Exodus 19, and guess what happened? The Lord at Mount Sinai in the third month, Exodus 19 verse 1, when Israel arrived there, wow, the Lord descended out of heaven in a cloud. Oh, well, that's for the church then, isn't it? When we got the Lord descending out of heaven in a cloud in Matthew 24, that's about Israel. When we've got him descending in a cloud in the book of Revelation, that's about Israel. When we've got him descending in a cloud in 1 Thessalonians 4, that's about the church, right? Wrong. See this pattern right here, friends? This pattern says God is descending to the earth. And that's exactly the pattern in the New Testament. You don't get the Lord descending in a cloud in the letters of Paul written after Acts 28, now do you? You don't have the parousia in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 1 and 2, Timothy, Titus and Philemon. You've got the appearing in the above heavens that has nothing to do with the cloud, nothing to do with the trumpet, nothing to do with the Lord coming with a shout and a voice and a trumpet and the archangel. And look at Exodus 19. Look at this. The Lord descends out of heaven. If you can read down your chart, you've got the promises made to the fathers. You've got supernatural gifts given at this time. Well, that wouldn't surprise us, would it? Since supernatural gifts were given at Acts chapter 2 and are featured in 1 Corinthians. You've got kingdom of priests. You've got a covenant. You've got clouds. You've got the third day when after Israel were brought out of Egypt. You've got trumpets. What about every eye shall see him? Don't you love this verse? I just love Exodus. It's just so marvellous, isn't it? I have to throw it in because it's so important. Whoops-a-daisy. I won't throw it in if I don't have a... Do you know every eye will see him? Matthew 24, Revelation chapter 1. The Lord will come down with a trumpet, with a shout, with an angel in Exodus 19, with angels, with earthquakes and lightnings and thunders and fire and judgment and smoke and darkness. And every eye will see him. All the people will see. So you think every eye seeing him in the book of Revelation means the church? You think every eye seeing him in Matthew 24 means the church? And if it's the same Lord descending in a cloud in 1 Thessalonians 4, maybe we better rethink. Here it is. Every eye shall see him. A trumpet in, and angels and a voice, earthquakes, thunders, lightning, fire, smoke and darkness. Now here's the fun part. Here's the absolute fun part. There were two meetings, two gatherings, when the Lord descended out of heaven with a cloud and a shout and a voice and a trumpet. Did you know that? Here it is in the Old Testament, and it's all about Israel. How come when people go up to meet the Lord in the clouds in 1 Thessalonians 4, it's about the church? When we've got Moses and 70 elders right here on this chart going up when the Lord comes with a trumpet blast to meet him in the clouds. Do you see what I mean about not following a pattern? Are you really seeing tonight what I mean when I say we are not following a pattern? We've been hoodwinked, we've been blinkered and blindfolded, and because we think all the New Testament's about us. No, it is not. There's only one man that has the dispensation of the grace of God for us today, and that's the Apostle Paul in those letters written after the book of Acts. Not his letters written during the book of Acts. Did you know Paul's letters written in Acts contain 190 Old Testament quotes. Did you know that? I mean, that's circumstantial evidence, but isn't that stunning? His gospel in Acts 13 was the promise made to the fathers. The hope of Romans 15 was the promise made to the fathers. Unbelievable. And Israel's deliverance here, as you can see, at Pentecost, 50 days out of Egypt, God said, I'm being faithful because of my promises I made to your fathers. I think that's a pattern being followed, don't you, in Paul. Paul then wrote post-Acts, that means after the book of Acts, seven letters, seven letters written after the Acts period, and they have eight Old Testament quotes. Now, not 80, that means eight Old Testament quotes. Do you see it? And you know why there were 190 Old Testament quotes in Paul's Acts period letters? Because he said Acts 26, he was judged for the hope of the promise made to the fathers, the same hope that the 12 tribes had. And he wasn't saying anything other than Moses and the prophets said was going to happen. But after the book of Acts closed, he was writing about the mystery which was hidden in God. And if it was hidden in God, he can't quote the Old Testament. Now can he? 190 quotes in seven letters and eight in the other. Now coming back, for those of you who have chart number 32 on www.bibleunderstanding.com/misc.htm, you'll find all those wonderful patterns taking place when Israel got to Mount Sinai. Two meetings. Now, here's the meeting of Israel on the ground, or on the earth as you spoke. And I have to find it. And Moses brought out the people. Here it is, Exodus 19, verse 17. Moses brought out the people to meet with God. See the word meet? Wonderful, isn't it? They met with God they were on the earth. They met with God when he descended out of heaven with a shout and a voice and a cloud and a trumpet. This is in Israel's salvation in their historic past. What makes it the church if we read the same things in the New Testament? Only replacement theology, not the word of God, let me tell you. Now, in Exodus 24, this is important, and we love it, so we're going to go to verse 9 and 10. Moses went up into the clouds when the Lord descended with a trumpet and a voice and a shout, and 70 elders went up with him. There were two meetings in this typical salvation of Israel. One on the earth when the Lord descended with clouds and a trumpet, and a second one, Moses and the 70, a remnant, went up into the clouds to meet him. Do you think this is about the church in Exodus 19 and 24? Well, if these same things clearly typified for us in Israel's history aren't the church when God set the pattern, how come they're the church in the New Testament? They're the church because we've been blinkered with replacement theology. That's why they're the church. But let me tell you tonight, friends, we're standing here and telling you something that's exciting. We have been hoodwinked. It's not about us in the New Testament. Simply because Paul wrote about it, we have to rightly divide Paul's letters and find out which letters appertain to us Gentiles and the one new man creation. This isn't one new man creation, is it? You know what I'm referring to in Ephesians chapter 2, where the Lord took of Jew and Gentile and made in himself one new man. That's a creation. This is not a creation, is it? Of one new man. This is the wife, the bride here in the type. And how consistent is it? When Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said at the last trump, and he called them chaste virgins, didn't he? And he said they would judge the world. Oh, and of course, here in the pattern, you realize that for 40 years, Israel wandered in the wilderness, didn't they? The Lord descended, and then 11 days after everything was ready, and the tabernacle had been built, then the Lord took them 11 days to Kadesh Barnea. They didn't believe, and he turned them, and they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Now, here's Numbers chapter 11. This is so fantastic, isn't it? Don't you love the Bible? Don't you love the pattern? And in Numbers chapter 11, Moses was weary. Moses was weary because of all the labors. He said this in verse 11, "Why have you afflicted your servant?" I want you to see this, friends. This is in the pattern. Moses, why have you afflicted me? I've got the burden of all the people along me. Did I conceive them? And he goes on. And you know, sometimes Moses is not whinging and whining. He's simply being honest with the Lord at the burden that he's bearing. And Moses said to the Lord, listen, take me away, kill me at once. And the Lord said, gather me 70 men. Hang on a minute. You haven't forgot the 70 that went up to meet the Lord in the clouds in Exodus 24, have you, already? 70 elders went up, and look here. Guess what happened? A remnant went to meet the Lord in the cloud, and guess what the Lord said to Moses? Get me 70 men, and I will come down and talk with you, and I will take the Spirit on you, and I'll put it on them. Oh, let me see. This is a no-brainer, really. Back when the Lord descended with a cloud and a trumpet, and there were two gatherings, one on the earth and one in the clouds, and a remnant went up to meet the Lord in the clouds, that a 70 remnant also received supernatural gifts. Oh, boy, this is a bit like the Acts period, isn't it? How simple is this? And what's this about in the pattern in Exodus and Numbers? It's about Israel, isn't it? And in the Acts period, there were supernatural gifts given to a remnant, Romans chapter 9. Don't try and call the remnant of Romans 9 the church, which is his body, friends, because that ain't going to work. Because here's the pattern. Do you see what I mean about the fact if we follow patterns right here in the Old Testament, we won't go astray in the New? But boy, oh boy, you think my shirt was a bit ridiculous and ludicrous? Look at the Christian community, friends, trying to make these patterns something completely different when the identical things occur in the New Testament and in those seven Acts period letters of Paul. Think of the theological squashing and squeezing and bashing with a sledgehammer that has to be done to make the things in Paul in the Acts period the church when they fit this pattern right here. I tell you what, are you getting a picture of how badly we've made a mess of things? So there was the Lord saying, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the Spirit on you, Moses, and I'm going to put it on this remnant so they can judge. Oh, no. I tell you what, I have to go to the New Testament and anticipate a few things. But, you know, in 1 Corinthians, written in the Acts period, Paul did write about the supernatural gifts to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 12, didn't he? What did he tell them? He said, you know what? You are going to judge the world and you're going to judge angels. I'll tell you what, friends, you will never judge the world or angels, because these believers in the Acts period, written to at Corinth by Paul, were a remnant. They belong to the remnant that the Roman believers belong to. Romans 12, they had supernatural gifts. And here in 1 Corinthians 6, the saints called virgins, 2 Corinthians 11, with these supernatural gifts we're going to judge. Wow, isn't that just like the pattern back in Numbers 11 and Exodus 12, 19 and 24? Boy, do you see what I'm saying, people? When we don't follow the pattern, we make a mess of it, right? You know, here's one of the greatest stumbling blocks that you'll ever find in the Christian community. Paul writing to this Corinthian believers, remember? They had supernatural gifts and they were going to judge the world and angels. This is what he told them. Oh, he said, I deliver to you that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures? How about the pattern that you've got in your hand? What about Moses lifting up the serpent? What about the four crosses at the foot of the mountain? When Moses gathered Israel and the covenant was made, blood was sprinkled on the altar and the people. The blood of what, do you think? The blood of the sacrifice. Who did the sacrifice represent? Christ. Oh, right. So the old covenant was covered in blood or ratified with blood, and when Christ died on the cross, his blood was the blood of a new covenant. And of course, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is a minister of the new covenant in the Acts period, not after. And here are the 1 Corinthians 15:3, the great gospel that Paul received. Do you think this gospel means the church started when every type of the sacrifice of Christ can be found on that chart you're holding in your hands? Leviticus 16, the high priest cleansing the altar and the nation. The sacrifices that speak of identification, unification, transference, reconciliation, redemption and sins forgiven. You think this gospel in 1 Corinthians 15:3 must mean the church starts? Don't think so, friends. It means that all that was anticipated has now come to fruition. And just because Christ died for Israel's sins and the Gentiles that believed in the Acts period doesn't mean it's the church. Because it didn't mean it's the church in this pattern. And he buried and rose again the third day. Well, you don't think that was in the Old Testament? Absolutely, it was according to the scriptures. Now, let's go to the end of the chapter. You know I love this. So if you want that to be the church in 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, then you better get out your spiritual crowbar, friends, and do something with this particular verse. And you know it, don't you, regular members of this room? Death is swallowed up in victory, as it is written. Where is death swallowed up in victory? Death is swallowed up in a victory in the quote from Isaiah 25, verse 8, and it's in God's holy mountain. Oh, on the chart, I've got Mount Sinai, and at the end of the chart, I've got Mount Zion. The resurrection that is a consequence or a blessed result of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15:4 is not to heavenly places. And it wasn't to heavenly places in the type and the pattern, was it? Unbelievable, isn't it? What about this one, verse 55? O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Oh, I guess that means heavenly places, because the gospel in verse 3 and 4 has Christ dying on the cross. Nope. This is not the church which is his body, because verse 54 of 1 Corinthians 15 is Isaiah 25, and you won't find the church which is his body in Isaiah. And 55 of 1 Corinthians 15 is, of course, Hosea, and you won't find the church which is his body there. But you've got the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ on this pattern for Israel and the Gentiles that were saved with them. Now, for 40 years that nation of Israel wandered, and as we've said, you can find the book of Acts nearly covers 40 years. Do you want to go down under that list, 40 years delay for Israel, where they had to be taught things? Isn't it interesting that at the Acts period, there was plenty of teachers teaching how all these types came to fruition? The Lord caused Israel to possess. But Israel was faithless, rejecting, stiff-necked, as Moses called them. He said in Exodus 34, take us for your inheritance. And the Lord said, I'll do mighty wonders among this nation. And look at all the things down there. During that 40 years wandering, a remnant was preserved. Isn't that amazing? And a perverse and rebellious generation perished. Peter says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Paul in Acts 13 says, since you count yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, remember that in his gospel? Oh, yeah. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And of course, in the Song of Moses, Gentiles were going to be saved to provoke Israel to jealousy. It's here in this pattern. This pattern about Israel and the earth, not the pattern about heavenly places. Of course, there is no pattern in the Old Testament for our calling. Now, is there? There's only one pattern for us. Our pattern is Paul in his post-Acts letters. I hope you know that. Did you know that? Interesting, isn't it? In the post-Acts letters, Paul is our pattern. This is not our pattern. And I tell you what really made a mess of the Christian community. They've got this pattern about Israel and trumpets and clouds and the Lord descending and two gatherings, one in the clouds and a voice and angels and all that stuff. They've got that pattern and they haven't followed that. Guess what the second faux pas was? The second blunder. Let's be blind in the left eye. Let's now be totally blind in the right eye as well. We've now ignored the pattern that was given to us today. We've ignored Paul. We made a mess of the one for Israel, and now we made a mess of the one Paul, and you wonder why the Christian community is in the mess it's in and getting worse. Do you wonder why Christian churches around the place are bashing the pulpit and demanding Christians pay a tithe? Because they're back here, aren't they? They're back here in the chart that you've got, and they're called replacement theology. Replacement theology. That which belongs to Israel really now belongs to me. What a joke. You know, God, if God had any hair left, he'd have it all ripped out by now, I can tell you. Two patterns we've ignored. One, this pattern here, and we've ignored the pattern Paul, of the Apostle Paul in his post-Acts letters. All right, there's the wandering for 40 years. Finally, Joshua, the book of Joshua, trumpets took place. But here's the amazing thing. The entry into the promised land across Jordan at Jericho was not in the seventh month at all. That's what I've been trying to point out to you, friends. Trumpets is featured in the third month, and it shouldn't have been. It should have been all about supernatural gifts if I was writing the book, but I'm not. And here, when Joshua took Israel into the promised land, it was between Passover and Pentecost. Can you believe it? And in Acts 1:6, the disciples, between Passover and Pentecost, said, "Will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time?" Wow! I think the Lord taught them really well. Now, you will see that when they entered the promised land, there's Joshua, whose name means savior and deliverer. The manna ceases. They send in spies. A Gentile woman is saved. You've got Jordan parted all the way back to Adam. 12 stones carried across, typifying resurrection. 7 priests and 7 trumpets. 7 trumpets in this pattern? And in the book of Revelation, 7 trumpets is all about the church? Don't think so. The last trumpet? You think the last trumpet in Corinthians might be about Israel? I think it is, and the Gentiles blessed with her. Do you think the trumpet in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is about the church? Don't think so. It's about Israel here, it's about Israel there, and the Gentiles blessed with them. Now, you have the Ark of the Covenant of all the earth, and a remnant enter the kingdom when the trumpet is blown. That remnant who received the Holy Spirit go up to meet the Lord in the cloud as he descends to a mountain. Then follows atonement and tabernacles. We've already looked at atonement in Leviticus 16, where Israel's high priest is finally recognized by his brothers. Remember Joseph and his brothers? They said, oh, we're bowing down. They didn't have a clue who he was. Joseph's brothers bowed down and did not know who he was. That's what's going to happen when Isaiah 53 is fulfilled. Oh, says Israel in prophecy, he was wounded for our transgressions. Do you understand why Christ dying on the cross for sins in 1 Corinthians 15 does not automatically mean the church which is his body has started? We follow this pattern that God has given us, friends, and our New Testament is the most exciting book we can read. And of course, after the Day of Atonement, when there's thorough cleansing and everyone's been regathered and the inheritance restored, you know the trumpet of Jubilee is blown on the Day of Atonement. Prisoners are set free. Luke chapter 4, Isaiah 61. And then there's tabernacles. The Lord tabernacles with them. And you find, when the Lord descended with a trumpet and a cloud, he came into his throne, which was between the cherub on the mercy seat. And, of course, you can read about the cherubim on the mercy seat in the book of Hebrews, which in chapter 12 is about Zion and the New Jerusalem. And so at the end of the chart, you have the temple or the tabernacle finally established on Mount Zion. And Genesis 12 Israel is a great and mighty nation. All of the families of the earth are blessed through her. Jerusalem is the city of the great king, and many prophecies as this theocracy unfolds look forward to a greater deliverance and ultimately the new heavens and the new earth, where this tabernacle is replaced with what? The new Jerusalem, which you can find that Abraham looked for and is featured in the book of Revelation, which has those seven angels and those seven trumpets. And this pattern helps us to see the beauty of the New Testament, the differences in it, the things that belong to Israel in those Gospels, the book of Acts, and Paul's seven letters written in Acts. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Galatians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Hebrews and Romans. And then at Acts 28, Israel was put aside or put away, and the Lord descended, not in a cloud and not with a trumpet blast. He appeared to Paul, gave him the present dispensation. And Paul is our pattern in Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 1 and 2, Timothy, Titus and Philemon. And praise God, if you're beginning to see these things, may the Lord continue to make these things yours very, very dearly as you search and see and rightly divide the word of truth. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for tonight and our fellowship together, who is like unto thee. We bless and praise you for your patterns that you have given us in the scriptures. This wonderful festive calendar event of Israel's salvation, thank you for its pattern. Help us, Father, to be true to it in the New Testament. And then thank you for Paul, our apostle, and that pattern he is for us. After Israel had been set aside, we bless you for him. Help us to study Paul, to distinguish things different in Paul, so that we are consistent with this pattern, and Father, that we will see the beauty of the things that are different. We bless you, we praise you, through Christ our Lord. Amen.